Now, first, the consequences of sticking your head way above the parapet, of deliberately and publicly backing your talent in one of the more mercurial ventures in modern life. That's what we're going to look at first. Being a successful stock picker, an investor extraordinaire who persuades thousands of others to park their money with him, because it's usually a him. Their risk-taking can offer incredible yields in terms of fees and acclaim and trust. But when circumstances change, as they invariably do on stock exchanges, the investor kings can get burned. So can their clients. In the last couple of months, Australia's hosted a story like this of the highly successful Hamish Douglass, who's been executive chairman of the Magellan Group, which he co-founded in 2007. And the story reached a climax of sorts this week when Mr. Douglass took indefinite leave to attend to his health after an annus horribilis, personally and professionally. There's now incredible effort to stabilise Magellan with about $93 billion worth of funds under management. Many of our superannuation funds will have money placed there, as, full disclosure, I do too, in a rather small way. It's not often such a personal, tough story from this world of finance allows us some real glimpses into this curious world of stock pickers. To help us understand more and to tackle some of the unanswered questions, I'm pleased to welcome back to Saturday Extra Graham Hand, Editorial Director at Morningstar and Managing Editor at firstlinks.com, .au, to the program. Graham, welcome.
Thanks very much, Geraldine. Good morning.
What type of person is attracted to stock picking and investing at this type of level? What drives them?
Yeah, what a tough business. Let me just give a bit of context that if you look at the long-term data from, say, Standard & Poor's over 10 years, that only about 20% of active equity managers, stock market managers, actually outperform the benchmark. So that's only one in five over a longer-term period. But even within those so-called winners, none of them outperform every year in that, say, 10-year period. And in fact, something like 80 to 85% of them have a three-year period of underperformance. So everyone in this market who is successful goes through periods of underperformance. And there is a hint in that on what it takes to be successful. You know, you've got to power through those difficult periods. You've got to have resilience. You've got to be able to tell your story, and you know, you've got to be able to convince people to stay with you when things are tough.
Yes, and there's usually only, from my observation, tell me if I'm wrong, there's only about three in Australia at any one time who are really soaring sky high. They may get replaced, and that's what we want to talk about. But is there a certain temperament that you would say is most suited to stock picking? Is it people able to make decisions that go against the grain when everyone's rushing away, you rush in? Or is it just exceptionally cool-headed or what?
Look, the difficulty that fund managers have is it's not like being a sort of a golfer where you know if someone is 10 under par, they are a talented golfer. There is a barometer on which it can be clearly measured. And the same with like a pianist and a doctor, you know, you can tell from the performance how well they are doing. But stock pickers are measured against the market, and the market is this emotional beast. And as you know, it responds to irrational behavior. You know, we all see people herding together when the market rises and panic when the market falls. And yeah, you've got to be self-confident enough, you've got to be strong enough to stand against that. And, you know, there's a lot of very talented people who can go 10 years underperforming, and you've got to stand in front of your thousands of investors every few months and explain why it looks like you're not doing very well. That takes a lot of resilience.
Actually, Kia Nielsen, who was the founder of Platinum Asset Management, who was one of the three at the time with Hamish Douglass, I'd say John Sevior, who used to be at Perpetual, who actually is now at Airlie Management, Airlie Investments, that is part of the Magellan Group, from what I can glean. he said something very interesting this week, because he's stepped back now. He was there for a long time, extraordinary investor.
Yeah.
The fact is, he said, once you're in the game, you just work so hard and it comes at a cost to relationships or health or ego. Those are the three big costs. Generally, it'll be relationships. And then if you're lucky, it won't be health. And if you're lucky, it won't be ego. But one of those things will suffer. Extraordinary quote.
Yeah, look, the market never sleeps. You know, when the Australian market closes, the UK market opens. When the UK market closes, New York opens. And, of course, you've got, you know, dozens of stock exchanges all over the world. So, you know, you might have a quiet time on a Sunday afternoon. And so, you know, these people wake up at 6 o'clock every morning, listen to Radio National News, and then they get onto Bloomberg and Reuters, and, you know, it's all go over Vegemite on toast with coffee, and then you're into the office, and, you know, it is full on. And then what happens when you go on holidays? You know, you don't lie on a beach for 2 weeks. You know, you're watching the market. People are contacting you. It's a tough gig, and you do that for, you know, 20 years. Then it's very easy to get over it.
But there's huge, repeat, huge yield for doing all that. You know, the sort of figures being thrown around that the remuneration for Hamish Douglas are just sort of eye-watering, and that actually leads me to my next question about this whole notion of key man risk. Was there far too much invested, both explicitly and implicitly, in someone who soars above the crowd, the rock star fund manager, who dominates the meetings and so on and so forth? Are we learning something out of this?
Well, perhaps we are. And here I would distinguish between investing and, you know, marketing and distribution. So in the case of Magellan, there is a large and talented investment team supporting Hamish.
You know, we now find this out. I mean, I know it's been there, but it's very interesting to me that this is now being emphasised to the extent that it is. And it certainly, well, I mean, it was obviously implicit, but it didn't hit the headlines.
Yeah, but, you know, if you were on the board of Magellan and involved in Magellan, and here you have this, you know, superb marketer in Hamish Douglas, who really, you know, must have been to a dozen of his presentations. They're very entertaining. He's very convincing. You know, that's a great asset for the business. And so, you know, Hamish did become the front man, but very, very heavily involved in the investing side as well. And look, in the past, I've interviewed, you know, the head of research, a lady called Bihari Ross, very talented person in her own right. You know, maybe they should have been pushing her to the fore a little more and emphasizing the depth of the team. And that's one of the things that they are obviously learning now.
Yes, well, interesting. See, Jonathan Shapiro has written about this week too. The reality is we all long for a rock star fund manager. The investing public will not stop believing that someone has a special gift to beat the market, a stock tip that will make them money and an eye for trade. The next Warren Buffett is just an addition away.
Well, look, that's right. But, you know, I've been to literally hundreds of fund manager presentations. And, you know, what really strikes me is they're all good. I mean, why wouldn't they be good? These are smart people who've been, you know, probably had 10 years of education in what they do, and then 10 years before they become a portfolio manager, they live and breathe this stuff. You know, they talk about their portfolio day and night, and when they get up and present, I've hardly ever seen a bad presentation. So it makes it difficult for an investor who listens to someone to really decide, is that person genuinely talented, or are they just a good presenter? You know, this yes. The business of picking active managers is very difficult.
I suppose the question for people looking on with, say, little bits or bigger bits of money is whether how you spot whether there's too much emphasis in a particular company on a key man, usually a key man. You know, there's been some quite interesting research done about whether the finance industry, more than other industries, is particularly prone to this business, to vulnerable to key person risk, as it's talked about, which and could very much affect the way your money works.
Yeah, and yeah, we do like to hear the rock star fund managers. I mean, who doesn't love a Warren Buffett quote? You know, and you know, the fact that someone like Warren Buffett says such pithy comments puts him ahead of the crowd, and you know, that's a little bit of a problem in that. You know, what you want from a fund manager? You know, you'd think some of them should be, you know, introverts studying the numbers all the time. But very often that person is in the back office doing the number crunching. And yeah, we do get attracted to the rock stars.
Yes, I mean, and of course, you know, he says himself, and I'll get out after this, that Jack Ma, his bet on Jack Ma and the Alibaba, and he had no idea that the Chinese government was going to behave like it did. Well, a lot of people around the world didn't, but I wonder whether that completely rattled his confidence, you know, because it was such a big bet, and it really did go wrong in many ways.
Look, this raises a really important point, Geraldine, that very often a fund manager's style or the type of investing that they do just doesn't work at a particular moment. Now, I think a really good example is Anton Tagliaferro's Investors Mutual, who, you know, equally well known, been in the market for 25 years. For the first 15 years, you know, numbers versus the market were exceptionally strong. But Anton's way of picking stocks is to look at sort of traditional industrial companies, you know, the people like Amcor and Brambles and Horizon. He is a sort of fundamental value stock picker. But in the last 5 to 10 years, the market's just been, you know, agog with tech stories and growth stories. And so if you compare Anton's number over 3, 5, 7, and 10 years, he's behind the index. Has Anton suddenly become a worse investor? No, he's still a very talented investor. It's just his style doesn't meet the times. And what's happened in the last year with Magellan is some of the big picks, as you say, Alibaba,
Netflix,
but also Netflix, exactly. Yeah. They've come back to the field a bit, or in the case of the China tech, you know, they've been hit by China regulations. So that idea, which was working really well 2 or 3 years ago, just isn't working at the moment. And you know, that might go on for a few years. And I just say to people, if you're going to choose an active manager to manage your money, it's an 8 or 10 year decision. You know, just because that person has a bad 3 years, that doesn't mean they're any worse than they were when you started. It's just their style may not be working.
Yes, one of my listeners has said, Warren Buffett doesn't trade. He studies long-term and buys. He never trades. Well, okay. Look, thank you very much indeed, Graham. I mean, it's been an extraordinary story to watch and, you know, very tough, no doubt, for him himself. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Geraldine. Bye.
Graham Hand, the editorial director at Morningstar and managing director at firstlinks.com.au.